Have you ever had to stand up for something that you believed in that put you at risk? Have you ever had to stand up for your principles or for integrity in a way that maybe put you at risk in your job? Or maybe you've had to stand up for something that put a relationship at risk. Have you ever had to speak out for something that you knew was right, that you believed in, even though it came with a steep cost? Or maybe you can flip that question around and ask, when you look back at your life, do you remember a moment when maybe you wished you had been bold enough to do something or to say something, but you backed away because you were afraid? I know I have. Today, friends, we hear the story of Stephen, who was the first martyr. Stephen, who speaks out boldly and tenaciously about Jesus, and it costs him everything. Now, his incessant proclamation of Jesus, it isn't because he wants to win an argument. It isn't because he wants to prove himself right. It isn't to condemn anyone or to judge anyone. It's because he knows Jesus is the Messiah. He knows the love of Jesus. And through Jesus, Stephen has found new life and purpose. And he wants that for everyone. So this guy just can't shut up about it. He goes on and on. Last week, Pastor Verinia preached on the story about the boldness and obedience of Peter and some of the other apostles when they were threatened. And she talked about how their boldness didn't come from their credentials or their background, but it came from knowing Jesus. It was this incredible, inspiring story, but this next chapter in the early church, it takes the stakes to a whole new level, because Stephen is the first disciple who was not just threatened for speaking about Jesus, but was killed for his faith in Jesus. So who was this Stephen? He comes on the scene just briefly before this. And also through the summer, we've got midweek readings and daily devotionals in our app. If you've been following that along, you maybe read this story in Acts chapter 6. You see, Stephen was one of seven men. He was the leader appointed of seven men, appointed by the apostles to oversee the distribution of food for widows in their community, poor widows, specifically of Hellenist or Greek background. And his name, Stephen, in Greek is actually Stephanos, which is a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. It's not an Aramaic name. So Stephen was kind of like this cultural bridge who was appointed to this task. In 6:5, it says this: they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He was this person then who was compassionate. He was trustworthy. He was deeply faithful, filled with the Spirit. And then we also see him in the text today talking regularly with this multi-ethnic group of people in the local synagogue called the Synagogue of the Freedmen, which means what it sounds like. These are people who would have once been slaves, but for various reasons were now free, because slavery wasn't always or wasn't necessarily a lifelong thing in that culture and context. So here he was teaching with great wisdom and doing these incredible things. And it said, did you catch this? He was doing many signs and wonders. In other words, Stephen was an amazing person doing incredible ministry, filled with the Holy Spirit. This was a dude that I would have wanted to hang out with. You know what I mean? And so you picture this guy in your mind and you have to wonder, how do we go from this person with this beautiful, kind, compassionate spirit to one who was killed by an angry mob? Well, the first thing we need to look at to understand is that we need to be clear about who it was that actually instigated all this. Was it outsiders? Was it the Roman authorities? Was it Gentiles? No, it was his own people. Jesus addresses this in Luke 6, the reading we heard today, when he said, "Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap on that day, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors also did to the prophets." These words Jesus was forcing them to remember, forcing us to remember, to look in the mirror. You see, all throughout the Old Testament, who was it that killed and oppressed God's prophets? It wasn't the pagans. It wasn't the Armenians. It wasn't the Philistines. It was the Israelites. It was God's own people, their own kings, their own rulers. Why would they do that? Well, here's the thing. Prophets, true prophets, weren't usually sent by God to tell the rulers that they were doing a great job. You know what I mean? God never sent a prophet that came down and said, God sent me to tell all y'all that you're doing great. Here's your pat on the back. Keep it up. No. I mean, there were plenty of false prophets that talked like that. That was a problem in the Old Testament. They would do this because they were just pretending, and they would want to get in the good graces of those with power and wealth and prestige. But no, the prophets that God sent were always sent to speak a hard, challenging truth that people needed to hear. God would send a prophetic word when God's people get off track, when we start to stray from God's ways. Things like justice and mercy, compassion, humility. And so, who is it that sets up Stephen? It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Gentiles. It was his own fellow Jewish people, God's own people. Why on earth would they do this? Well, you see, some of the people of God had become so misguided, so lost, so deceived, and so intoxicated by the powers of this world, so seduced by the promises of wealth or safety or whatever it was, that they didn't want to hear this disruptive Jesus stuff. Stephen and later others like him were killed because they dared to proclaim a God of grace, a God of forgiveness, a God whose love isn't just for some people, but for all people. They said, we don't want to hear about that kind of God, Stephen. We don't want a God that's going to go poking around in our souls talking about forgiveness, because then we might have to look in here and we might have to change. Stephen, we don't want to hear about this God of forgiveness, because that God might forgive those other people that we don't like. That God might force me to examine my own heart. And Stephen, I'm not sure I'm going to like what I find if I look too deep. Stephen, we don't want to hear another word about this God of mercy, because if mercy is truly who God is, then we might have to be convicted to be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. And those people, they don't deserve mercy. Those people don't deserve forgiveness. But friends, you know who else doesn't deserve the mercy of God? Me. I don't deserve God's forgiveness. I don't deserve grace. Do you? At the end of the day, none of us deserve it. And still God gives it again and again and again. At the end of the day, these misguided folks were so certain of their rightness, of a God that would bless them and curse their enemies, that it drove them to close their ears and their eyes and their minds to what the Spirit of God was doing right in front of them, and instead to participate in collective murder. And who was it that participated in this murder that day? It was the people of the synagogue. It was the council. It was the Sanhedrin. You know, it's hard to hear, but if we translate that into modern day language, it would sound like this. It was the bishops and the pastors and the church folks. It begs the question, who poses a more dangerous threat to Christianity? Is it secular folks from out there, or is it misguided, overzealous religious fanatics? So if we look closely at the story, you can picture the scene in your mind. It says that they became enraged. That's a powerful word, isn't it? Enraged. They were so angry that they grab him and they drag him out of the city. Not a gentle tug, they drag him out. You can just imagine the rocks and the dirt bruising and cutting his skin. You can imagine folks kicking at him and fists going at his face. And they throw him outside the gate, and then like rabid animals, they pick up stones and begin hurling them down at his body, one after another. But he speaks. He says, I see Jesus. I see Jesus with God. And somehow Stephen's bruised and broken face is still able to radiate this joy and this hope, but they cover their ears. They shout and become filled with fury. They don't want to hear another word because they're trying to tell themselves that what they're doing is holy. They're trying to tell themselves that their violence is justified. But here's the problem with the gospel. The way of Jesus never allows for violence. It just doesn't. Justified or not, Jesus proves this by his own blood when he says, I would rather suffer and die on a cross than raise my hand in violence against anyone. We see a story that illustrates this too in John chapter 9. There's a woman who's caught in the act of adultery, and the authorities drag her before Jesus and say, "This is an open and shut case, Jesus. In the law, Moses said that you're supposed to stone folks like this, but what do you say?" And Jesus says, "No more. No more violence." You know, we may not throw literal stones today in our modern culture, but we certainly throw a different kind of stone, don't we? Stones that bruise hearts and minds, our words. You know, the tools may have changed, but the temptation is the same. When we do things like talk behind others' backs, or when we like, share, or comment on things online that perpetuate hate or harm, when we support media or personalities that might be fun to listen to, but they profiteer off slander and outrage and lies, when we do these things, we do violence to one another with our words. And then, like those in the story, I try to justify myself. You know, of all the signs and wonders Stephen did in his short time on earth, I think the most remarkable thing was his witness here at the end. He doesn't retaliate. He doesn't fight back. He doesn't raise a fist. He doesn't even hurl a single insult. Instead, he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." With his dying breath, he forgives. He refuses to allow this story to end in tragedy. Instead, Stephen, by this unbelievable act of forgiveness, he transforms this tragedy into a triumph for the gospel of Jesus. Because he knew that these stones could crush his body, but there was nothing that could crush his faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there's also a part of the story that we don't see. There's a part of the story that comes after that the book of Acts doesn't record for us. We have to use our imaginations to get there. Think about this. How many of those who threw stones that day walked home asking really hard questions, thinking things like, "Man, that guy never flinched. He never wavered. He even smiled. He said he saw Jesus. I mean, what if he was telling the truth? I swear he looked right at me when he said, 'Lord, don't hold this sin against them.' How could he forgive me?" I have to wonder how many of those men went home that day and cried themselves to sleep that night. How many of them were eventually transformed because of that act of mercy that Stephen did? When I look at this story, friends, I ask myself one question. Do I want to be the kind of person that casts the stones? Or do I want to be the kind of person that offers Christ-like forgiveness as God has first given me? Do I want to be the kind of person that follows the crowd and perpetuates these cycles of harm and anger? Or do I want to be the kind of person that disrupts that harm and creates a different way, the Jesus way? I would rather die for following Jesus than live without him. This way of Jesus, though, he never promised that it would be easy, but he does promise it will be beautiful. Jesus never promised that his way would be comfortable, but he does promise that he will always be with us, and it will be worth it. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks for Stephen and his witness and all those who've gone before us, without whom we might never have even heard your story. God, fill our hearts with that same spirit of joy and boldness, with that zeal to share your love and your word with all those around us. God, every person we interact with is an opportunity to love, an opportunity for mission and ministry. Lord, fill our hearts. Give us courage. Give us direction as we go forth this week. Help us to see where your spirit is leading and step out with that same courageous boldness that Stephen shows today. In Jesus' name we pray.